Let's all bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? Great are you, Lord, and most worthy of praise. Your greatness no one can fathom. Dear Lord Jesus, we confess our sins before you and ask for your forgiveness. You oppose the proud and give grace to the humble. And many times in a Christian walk, we might have stumbled, made mistakes, or hurt by someone. Our unpleasant experience has caused us to withdraw and hide our vulnerabilities and not trusting you with our anxieties. Dear Lord, please grant us the courage to submit before you and cast all our burdens at your feet. Show us how to dispense forgiveness and grace to be relieved and experience complete joy in our lives once again. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving protection and care in bringing Marcus to serve as young folk, overcoming many hurdles and even the pandemic. You have guided him every step of the way to answer the calling you have placed in his heart. It is a determination only you could have instilled in him. May you plant his ministry on solid ground and nurture him to produce a lifetime of good fruits serving you. Dear Lord, we also pray continually for the healing of our brothers Andrew, Danny, and Charles. May you bless them with complete recoveries in your perfect timing. We pray especially for grace for dear brother Andrew, to give him special grace, who is going to go under radiation treatment very soon for his cancer. May you continue to grant him good health to fight this battle. Dear Lord, we also lift up our English ministry to you. We have seen your guiding hands in building us up into a strong spiritual community, being transformed by your powerful word. We pray that you will continue to prosper us in quality and in numbers, and help us to grow and bear fruit for your kingdom. And this morning we pray specifically for Pastor Marcus, who will be delivering the sermon. May you anoint his mouth and use him as your instrument to plant your transforming words in our hearts. And we pray and ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to the English Ministry once again. I'd like to take this a special moment to welcome any one of you who has never been here before, or who are here for the first time. Would you bless us by raising your hand or standing up and saying a couple of words about yourself? On my right-hand side here, first, anybody? No? Okay, everybody, old friends, okay. What about in the middle here? I see some new faces. Okay, all right. Can you let us know your name, maybe a couple of things that you... Catherine and yeah. Terry, welcome, okay. What about on my left-hand side here, any new friends? First-timers? Oh, okay. Could you stand up and introduce yourself? Uh-huh.
So I'm here with my wife, Edith, and my husband,
Jasmine. Oh, welcome. Okay, so a couple of announcements for today. First of all, Wednesday night is we will still have our Bible study this coming Wednesday night. It's going to be an in-person Bible study. Okay, it's going to be at in this building on the 8th floor at 7:30 p.m. Okay, and we're going to talk about we're studying the Book of John. Okay, and also I don't have that, but I'll bring it up here. Some of you have seen this book last time or last week. It says King of Dreams. And this is a publication that is printed for to commemorate our pastor, Reverend So's retirement. Okay, and so if you do not have a copy, you feel free to pick up one today. And last week we say one for family. I think that we have some left over this week. Okay, so please go over and take pick one up if you feel like it. Okay. So the following time, we will just go to a scripture reading. Okay. Today's scripture reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. And we have four slides this morning. And so we're going to do this. I'll read the first one, you read the second one, and then I'll read the third one, and we all read the fourth one. Okay? I'll read the first one first, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may welcome partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. That's all. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Great. Okay. So this morning, I'm very delighted to introduce our pastor, Marcus Yang. Okay, he is a pastor leading our English youth worship and fellowship. And he graduated from this past summer, with a Master of Divinity degree from the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in the United States. It was a mouthful. We were delighted that he has joined our English ministry, and we're going to be serving the Lord together for the futures to come. So Pastor Marcus is going to deliver the sermon this morning, and the sermon title is The First Day, The First Day.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see you all out here in person. Finally, I can see you. My name is Marcus, and I hope that today we're going to have a good time together, worship God together. Before I start my sermon today, I want to ask you some questions. I hope that by asking you these questions, we can learn about God's love and His grace for us. So my first question is this. When was last time you laughed like a little boy or a little girl? When was the last time you put up a very genuine smile on your face? You know, one of my favorite songs is called Dao Xiang by Jay Chou, Zhou Jielun. The music video of that song is so worthy to watch. The music video is about a grown man after he got overwhelmed by the pressure from the workplace and from the family, he decided to move back to his mom's house in the countryside. He hoped that by going back home, he could find rest in his mom's house, and also he can find back the purpose of his life. So he decided to go back home. And when he finally arrived back home, he realized, wow, the sky is blue, the field is green, the breeze just blowed at his face so gently. He realized that he finally can let go the wall in his heart. He finally can show his childlikeness to people in the countryside. He no longer need to hide. He can let go the pressure. And at the end of that music video, you can see he put a very genuine smile on his face. And when I saw it, I was thinking, wow, isn't that what we all want? Now, I want that smile. I want to have that kind of pressure-free, you know, that kind of happy life. I want to have that. When was last time you laughed out loud like a little boy, like a little girl. Today, my sermon title is called The First Day. My only hope, my goal, is to help you to learn to trust God and to see every day is your first day. I hope that at the end of this sermon, you can learn the skill that you can preach the gospel to yourself every day and try to live out your faith and belief every day. Our God is more powerful than Jay Chou's song. Jay Chou's song is, he can only bring temporal comfort to us. But our God is way powerful than him. You can find rest, find hope, find security in him in eternity. Before I start, let me pray together, okay? Dear God, I thank you for bringing me here to Young Folk English Ministry, Lord. I thank you that you speak to us, and I pray that you will bless our time here, and then pray that you will use me and help me to deliver your words faithfully, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever thought about why Jesus Christ should be your Lord, should be my Lord? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Just like us in Peter's time, people were thinking also the same questions. There were quite other options that they can pick. They can rely on themselves. They can pray to other gods. There are so many other options. Why follow this God called Jesus Christ? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Maybe to understand why, we can take a step back and then try to examine our own personal life and try to reflect on your personal experience. Do you remember the moment that you realize, wow, this world owes you nothing? This world owes you nothing. There's no one you can rely on. Not your mom, not your dad, not your friends, but just you, yourself only. Do you remember the moment that you realize, wow, I'm alone. No one can help me. Just like the guy in the music video of Dao Xiang, you stand at the crossroads and thinking, oh, where should I give up my job? Should I leave this city and move back home or go to somewhere nice? Should I maybe try other religions? Maybe ask help from other gods? Maybe they can bless my life as well. Maybe they can make my life better and easier. You know, deep down in our hearts, we all look for someone bigger than ourselves to protect us, to bless us, make our lives easier. And we all have that desire to move to somewhere nice, to build a better life. Same in the ancient times, same in Peter's time. In Peter's time, people were also having that kind of desire, hope to have someone to protect them, to help their life become easier. And they even create a system to make that desire, that behavior come true. And that system takes a significant role to help us to understand the background of 2 Peter. And that system is called patronage system. What is patronage system? Patron is a group of people that they have power, resource, money. They have everything. They are the privileged one. So they give all kinds of social benefits to the clients. Clients are the not as privileged people. So the patron gives money, gives all kinds of resources to these people in order that, you know, in return, the client need to honor the patron in the public. Okay, just like in our modern day, there are many celebrities, they donate money to nonprofit organizations in order they could have more opportunities to get be honored and get praised in the social media. So it seemed like that, okay? So Peter, he knows this system very well. So he's trying to address this the situation. He wants him to understand that, wow, hey, be careful. Be careful who are you following with, okay? Be careful what kind of system you immerse yourself in. In this chapter 1, he asked the people to think about two questions. First is, what kind of world you are living in? What kind of world you are living in? And second question is, from whom you seek help from? Who do you ask help from? When the people seek help from patron, let's say Roman Empire or the mayor of a city, what they could get is only a temporal protection and comfort. But sooner or later, those people, they will encounter, you know, difficulties that they themselves cannot even handle. When that time comes, who they can seek help from then? Is there anyone that can, you know, bigger than these patrons to help them? Peter said to them, No. Only Jesus Christ, He is all-knowing, all-powerful. Only this God that you can trust, you can place your trust in. Okay? Only this God. Peter reminds them that, hey, you live in a concrete jungle. You think the world is just this big. But look at the sky, look at the ocean, look at things around you. These are all created by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. See how powerful He is. And see your patron. Look at your patron, how powerful it is. Who do you want to seek help from? And now, this God of universe, this creator of universe, He come before you and give you an invitation to ask you to be His client, to ask you to be His people. He will protect you. He will give you anything you need to live a godly life. That is His responsibility because He wants to bring glory and praise back to Him. He will provide anything you need to help you to live a godly life. So Peter wants to challenge people at that time and us. Let us think, hey, who do you want to follow? Who do you want to give your loyalty to? Anyone in this world or God alone? Peter asks you, ask us, ask me to trust the all-knowing God, the powerful God, the creator of the universe. Trust Him alone. Trust Him alone. And after Peter talked about the power of God and the benefits to His people, His clients, Peter started to continue to address the patronage system. He continued to speak in their language. He said in verse 5, he said, "Now God is your protector. For this reason, make every effort to add to you your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." Love. Peter gives command to his people. He asks them, hey, try your hardest to follow this rule. Try your best. This is the direct command from God, from the creator of the universe. You have to try your hardest, no matter how difficult that is. Try your best to do this. Can you do that? Can you do that? I think, me personally and theologically, I think the answer is no. The answer is no. You know, I was overwhelmed several times by using, my personal my willpower to live up to God's standard. I was overwhelmed several times. I tried my hardest to live up to God's standard, but never worked out. I remember my first year in the U.S. My life was extremely difficult, and every aspect of my life got challenged: money, relationships, and education. Anything, name it, got challenged. I was thinking, wow, why life could be so difficult? Why money is so hard to earn? Why food is so expensive to buy? I try my hardest to live out my faith, my belief. And I remember I asked God two questions in my first year. I asked Him, hey God, are you really love? Do you really care about me? Do you really love me? I try my hardest to follow His instruction in the Bible, but the more I try it, the more I realize, wow, there are more and more bitterness coming out from my heart. I realize I cannot use my own will, my own power to reach God's standard and other people's standard. If you were to meet me at the in the United States first year, if you were to meet me there, you probably would not want to talk with me because my face was always so serious and there was no smile on my face. You probably would say, ooh, this guy is something wrong in his heart. You probably would not want to talk with me. And the first year, eventually, I arrive at the point where I say to God, hey, God, I'm a human being. I'm a human being. I need help. I'm a sinner. I have my own needs and my desire. I cannot do your commands, do the instructions in the Bible. Have mercy on me. Help me. Help me, O Lord. And I think just right after that frustration, I had a breakthrough. I finally realized that, wow, Christianity is really not about work, but about God's grace. It's about God's grace. I tried to use my will to control my Christian's life, to live a kind of life acceptable to other Christians, to God. But the result was terrible. I was overwhelmed. So today I also want to give you a gift. I want to share with you something that I learned from my first year. I hope that when you got discouraged or when you got overwhelmed, you can take out this gift and then to remind yourself who you are as a person. Please see the slide. As a human being, we learn about our role in this world in three different aspects. Knowing, being, and doing. Know, be, do. Okay? By working on this triangle, you are guaranteed, Peter says, you are guaranteed that you won't fail, but will for sure can get into heaven. And the key is the being part. Peter wants to remind us in chapter 1 that it's not about your good work or your knowledge, but about God's grace and his election. In verse 3 and 4, if you have your Bible, please open your Bible and read verse 3 and 4 with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertains to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. I am not a Greek scholar, but I learned a little bit Greek grammar back in my school seminary. This might be a little bit difficult to understand Greek grammar, but there's a key word in here in verse 4. In verse 4, you can see the words having escape. In grammar, it is in aorist participle. Okay, in aorist participle. According to Dr. Con Campbell, he said there's a verbal nuance there. When you see the aorist participle, there's normally antecedent, that word, that verb is normally antecedented in time frame. It means that the verb in aorist participle occurs first. What does that mean? Let me give you an example. For instance, when I moved from Hong Kong this 3 weeks ago from Taiwan, Pastor Peter, he had moved from America to Hong Kong. So the words having moved are aorist participle. Pastor Peter's action took place before me. He moved to Hong Kong before me. I come later, okay? So back to our text. So what Apostle Peter is saying here is that you have to leave your sinful desire, then you can become partaker of divine nature. And that is not by your work, but by God's grace, by Jesus' blood. So to experience God's blessing and protection, you have to believe that Christ is your Savior. You have to believe that Christ is your Savior first. In this no-be-do triangle, you have to have a new status first before you can do anything for God, because before you can understand that the inside of God's Word. You have to have Holy Spirit to help you first, to help you to do those two things, doing and knowing. Without believing Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, no matter how much you know, no matter how much you do, it doesn't matter. Those two things won't bring you to be partaker of divine nature. We have to believe Christ is our Savior and start to work on our own hearts. Good works come from our good redeemed hearts. Our motivations to learn God's word comes from our redeemed hearts. And also, once you root your being part, your identity in God, you will see every challenges in life as learning opportunities. Let me say once again, once you root your identity in God, then you will see all the hardship in your life as learning opportunities. You can take those opportunities and to learn and to help you be more like God. If you see yourself stop growing on biblical knowledge and unwilling to serve God, maybe you could ask yourself in which area of your life you no longer believe that God is your Savior, the being part. When you are struggling with following God, you can learn to step back and try to observe what God is trying to teach you, your identity, your insecurity. And when you step back, you can then see the bigger picture and understand what kind of blessing that God has given to you to help you to live a godly life. Sanctification is a journey. It's not just a one-time event. You know, it's okay not to be okay. You can rest for a while first and work on your relationship with God. Work on your reconciliation with God. You don't need to use good work to please other Christians, to show that, oh, you are a good Christian. You don't need to do that. The only God that you need to please is Jesus Christ, Him alone. And no matter what happened to you, God promised you that He will give you anything you need to live a godly life. Jesus Christ is the one you can trust. You can fully place your hope and security in Him. Don't let this world discourage you. God will help you. God is with you. And one day, when you come out from that divine training, from that hardship, don't forget to use your experience to help others, to help those who are still struggling. Use your personal experience to help them to press on, to follow God. Pass on that healing power to others. Don't that healing power stop at you, but pass it on. Hong Kong now really needs healing power, and that power is now in your hand. That power is now in your hand. When I was in the U.S., I found out that people, especially in the Cantonese congregation in a church, people really love to openly talk about, you know, politics and all that. But this past 3 weeks in Hong Kong, I discovered one thing. Most of the people choose not to talk about politics. They don't want to talk about it anymore because they are so hurt, so much anger. Beneath anger is sadness. Everyone don't want to talk about it. The society is already got divided. Family got divided already. Everyone's angry. Everyone needs grace, needs help. And you have that power. You have that healing power in your hand. You can help them. But first, you need to root yourself in the being part. Your identity have to be in Christ. You know, not just in a society, you know, even in church, in God's church. Christians are struggling as well. Many Christians don't know how to deal with those people who hold different political opinions. They say, I know here, I know what to do, I know what I should do, I read Bible, but I just can't. I can't love those people. The being part, there's something wrong with the being part. They forgot that they belong to God. They forgot. If you're struggling with this, maybe you could take a break first. You are not alone in this struggle. Many Hong Kong people are struggling with their identity crisis. To them, becoming a member of God's kingdom is just an abstract concept. To them, you know, fighting for their identity, Hong Kong identity, is more urgent. It's more urgent issue to deal with. Let us take a step back and see. If Peter were to be in our society now, what will he do? You know, this letter, 2 Peter, is the last one that we Christians could find. According to other ancient resources, we learned that Peter was crucified upside down. He said to the soldier who was about to crucify him, he said to him, I don't want to die the way like Jesus, because I am not worthy. So he asked the soldier to flip him and got crucified upside down. Peter thinks that, oh, I'm not worthy. Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. I'm not worthy to die just the same way as he does. When Peter still have his final breath, he chooses to write down his words and encourage and challenge his people not to do anything else but to work on your hearts, to confirm your calling, to confirm your identity. He asks us to work on our being part because he knows, we know, the final destination of our of Christian is heaven. We are certain that we'll go to heaven. So the rest, after confirming the being part, the rest is the knowing and the doing. The knowing and doing, okay? If you are worried about your assurance to go to heaven, maybe you can try first. You can examine your faith first and see whether you're willing to serve God, whether you have that desire to learn more about God's word. Verse 8, Peter says, if those Christian virtues are increasing in your hearts, then you are for sure saved. You are for sure saved. Being a Christian in this sinful world is so difficult. There will be time to sing, to dance. There will be time to cry, to rest. But remember, never give up. Don't give up. There will be a great reward waiting for you at the end. In chapter 3, verse 10 of 2 Peter, Peter says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. For those who don't believe in Christ, there will be a fire judgment waiting for them. But for us, the faithful follower of Christ, the Christians, God will give us a warm welcome. He will welcome us. And when we see him face to face, we'll believe that, wow, everything's worth it. Everything is worth it. That the confirmation of our elections be the drive to encourage us to learn more about God and to do good work for him. Not that Peter forces us to do anything, like verse 5, to force us to do anything. But because we confirm our election, then we want to serve God. Then we want to respond to God's love. If you are thinking about leaving Hong Kong, going back home to UK, Australia, even move to Taiwan or Philippines, Indonesia, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with doing it. But I want to encourage you and challenge you to think, where do you place your identity? Where do you place your security? Is it in that new place, in other governments, or in God? Who is your patron? Who is your patron? You know, I just come back from the United States. I just moved from the United States to Hong Kong. I'm pretty sure that America, the U.S., is also part of the broken world. There are so many things that you never deal with in Asia, but you need to deal with that in America. For instance, maybe racism. I hope that you never experienced that before, but me personally, I experienced racism quite often back in the U.S. There are things that you never thought of that you would deal with. But in other places, in other parts of the broken world, you would deal with it. If you don't place your identity and security in God, sooner or later, you would stand at that crossroad and think, should I move again? Should I move to somewhere else again? Maybe other places are better. Maybe I can go somewhere else. You know, place your security in God and always think about how to grow more, how to grow more mature in Christ. And use that questions to help you make any decision in your life. Always think about how to grow. That's the key to help you to live a godly life. Our home is in heaven, not in this world. We are of God, not of this world. Pastor Peter and I, we moved from the U.S. to Hong Kong for God's glory, for his kingdom. That is our way to confirm our election. That's our way to respond to our salvation. And that's our way to remember that Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sin, so that we can root our identity in God. We can root our identity in God. What about you? How are you going to respond to your calling, your election? at the end, I want to use a short period of time to invite you to communicate with God. Quiet down yourself and just ask God, hey, is there anything in my life that I need to work on? Is there any area in my life I need to ask you to help me? Let's quiet down for 30 seconds or so and let God speak to you. Let's pray together. If you find out that there's something wrong in your heart that you need to ask help from God, ask Him. He promised you that He will provide anything you need to live a godly life. He is with you. He's your loving Father who cares about you. If you're not yet a Christian and you find no hope in your life, you don't know what to do, you don't know who to ask help from, hey, our God is waiting here. He sends you an invitation to ask you to be His people. You can choose to follow Him today. He is your God. Let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and love. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sin, so that we can root our identity in you. We can find eternal security in you, Lord. No one is greater than you, Lord. You alone are our God. If you are not yet a believer and you want to believe in Christ, you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are my Savior. I believe the one who died on the cross for my sin, who resurrected on the third day. I ask Him, Jesus Christ, to be my Savior. I will follow Him from now on to forever and ever. Amen.